Well, all right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way monologue. And I got to tell you, I'm looking around at some of what's been happening in culture, some of the things that we have been experiencing as a people. And there's that old adage, right, of the frog in the boiling water. You know the storyline. A frog is placed into a pot of water, swims around contentedly, never realizing that someone has actually turned on the heat, and the water is slowly moving towards a full boil. And the frog, without knowing any better, never takes its mind off its own contentedness. It just swims along, and before it realizes the danger it's in, it's just like it's way too late. The water boils, the frog is cooked. Well, folks, our society, our culture, our nation has been swimming along like a bunch of frogs in a pot. But I do believe, and I say this with all sincerity, I was telling Charlene this morning, I do believe that we are in what I would call a time of turning. I can feel it. Can you? So Charlene and I were talking recently. She adamantly said, you got to keep reminding your folks not to let themselves get numb to what's going on in our country right now. And she's absolutely right. She usually is. We cannot allow ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, and family to become numb to the cultural shifts that the left keeps trying to foist on us. And it's everywhere. It's in every corner of society, at every turn. You know, we can have satanic ceremonies celebrated as culture on the Grammys, and churches say nothing because it's art. We can have whole hospitals given over to the notion of transgender surgeries and treatments on minors to forever alter their appearance, and it's just celebrated as awareness. We can have our border ransacked by illegal immigration numbering in the millions, and it's feted to the world as openness. We can have failing schools teach failed concepts like critical race theory, and it's called an awakening to the truth. We can have blind spending sprees out of Washington, D.C. that drive our debt into astronomical figures, and we're told it's actually inflation reduction. All of that and more has been happening. In many places, it's still happening right now. But here's the other thing that Charlene says often. There's more of us than there are of them. You hear me say it. I believe it's true. If you get down to it, we just proved that to be a fact, y'all. When the right side of politics won both the Electoral College and the popular vote, we proved for a fact that there are more of us than there are of them. It's a sign of that time of turning that I was talking about. I believe the vast majority of America is still actually desirous of traditional values and conservative principles. But what good is it to have, you know, an army that outnumbers its enemies if the army's asleep when the enemy comes marching? So we got to stay awake. We got to stay alert to stay alive. Got to keep our heads on a swivel. We got to have a plan. It's time to get back to realities. I mean, real realities. Stop spending so much time allowing our culture to be pretended and offended by what are no more than really first world problems. First world problems, what is that? Well, first world problems are really not problems. They're usually things people make up. You got to quit being all involved in first world problems or even allowing them to be foisted on us and forget that the realities of life are not solved by wokeisms and platitudes and people following their own truth. You see, wokeists on the progressive left and the liberal media allies, they always create a first world solution and then they create the first world problem to help them validate their predetermined first world solution. What do I mean by that? Here's one, an example. Wokeists desperately want to co-opt our kids into believing the lies that transgenderism is built on. So rather than just live out their adult fetishes and fantasies, they create the idea that gender is fluid. Then they create the idea that children need to be affirmed for their gender dysphoria. Then they create the whole cottage industry of medical hacks and quacks and liberal pundits who all agree, and voila, suddenly children are being affirmed and growing up to believe that men can compete in women's sports. They create the problem to fit their woke solutions. Look, only in the first world, y'all. Only in the first world does that kind of thing happen. It reminds me of another experience. In Afghanistan, I lived among the Afghan people, right? Very often on the sides of the walls of a dilapidated dwelling made of mud bricks, I would see these round patties. They looked like frisbees made out of mud. And they were usually stuck to the sides of the walls. They lined the walls, usually on the sunny side of a building, stuck in row after row after row. Sometimes there'd be dozens of them on the wall outside of a house. And I asked my interpreter one day, what are these things? And he said, oh, sir, those are tapi. So tapi, as I came to understand it, is animal dung. It's been collected, it's been mashed and stomped on to make it uniform in its consistency. Then they add straw to it to give it body. They make it into flat discs, then they stick it on the walls to dry. In the colder months, tapi was actually burned in the home for heat. Stoves were burning toppy for cooking. There were people who made toppy patties and sold them for food money. So on the one hand, we would use it as a joke, sometimes call each other toppy heads, complain the food was nothing but toppy. But the reality of toppy has stuck with me for all these years. You see, those are people who know of no other means to cook or provide heat than to hand collect animal waste, to dry it in the sun and burn it for fuel, and I guarantee you they don't care what your pronouns are. But then you look back at the ridiculous things that wokists will say here in the first world, where we don't burn toppy, where we don't have to step on it and add straw to it and stick it on the sides of our house. Like the left-wing academic who recently declared that people who bring cake to the office for their coworkers are actually causing harm. So apparently cake is now a woke issue. Or drag queen presentations at a middle school breakfast event that parents were not apprised of in advance. When did it become okay to circumvent parents? Any issues with that? Or how about the story of the 10-year-old, 10, who allegedly has been a transgender activist since he was just five. He's moving to another state to get away from the so-called transphobics in his community. Let me suggest it's actually his activist mother that made him an activist at 5 years old, and that five-year-olds don't really move themselves across state lines. In a country where they burn toppy for heat, they major in the majors. In a country where they burn toppy for heat, they would love to have some of that extra cake that people in our country claim is now harming each other, their coworkers. But in a country where it becomes commonplace for small children to be seen as hero activists by telling the world that boys can be girls, that's a classic case of majoring in the minors because we've become so culturally soft that we no longer see the need to major in the majors. But back to my original point, I think the signs of the turning are everywhere. And yes, there is a resistance to such wokeisms, and I'm glad that this show has a chance to provide some air cover to those who want to push back on all of it. But make no mistake, the underlying thread is not just the agendas of this group or that group or who got elected or whether Hunter Biden's laptop will ever see the light of day or whether we can get to net zero emissions or whether they convince us that eating bugs is as good as eating bacon or that cow flatulence has to be stopped. All that is really first world problems. But I believe, though, having said all that we are entering into unprecedented times. I do believe that we are in a time of turning. A time when the cultural inflection point actually turned in the right direction. And more than ever, to make that turning happen to its fullest, it's going to be necessary for good men and women like all of us, of principle, to be fully and completely situationally aware of their surroundings, of their times, of their actions, of their opposition, with knowledge of what they should do. You may have to speak up. You may have to know your position well enough to be able to add clarity. You may indeed have to even address concerns that you shouldn't have to address, but if you don't, they'll only get worse. But the last thing we need to be doing right now is turning a blind eye. The last thing we need to do right now is put our heads in the sand. And that's where we are, though, the turning point. We can live as sheep or sheepdogs. We have to stay alert. We cannot become numb. So I'm being watchful. I know many of you are, too, and I encourage all of you, be watchful, be mindful. I'm making a conscious effort to enjoy life, to love, to laugh, but also to fight. I refuse to sit idly in my pot like a sleepy frog and just get slow boiled. And we would all do well to heed my lovely Charlene's advice. We cannot allow ourselves to get numb to it all. Why should we? There's more of us than there are of them. This is our time to turn. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.